All right, there we go. Okay, pray with me for a moment and we will get started. Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for breath. Thank you for every blessing that comes from you. And we thank you, Father, for the chance to come together in Jesus' name and to come together with each other in this place and to spend some time in your word and to spend some time in the pursuit and the application and the alignment with the truth. And so we invite your spirit that leads and guides us into all truth to be with us in this time, in this place, and to guide each and every person and every person that hears these words, that this would be strength to all of us at this time in our journey, in this space, in this construct, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Okay, so we have been in a series, and we're going to spend a little bit more time in this one because there's a lot to say, especially in light of current events. So we've been talking about the simulation, right? Okay, so Revelations 21 said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea," right? Okay, so we know and we understand that that this entire construct of what we've been in and what we've been experiencing has been for a window and for a season. Right now, what we experience, we know that this whole thing is going to end well, and we know this whole thing started well. So in the beginning, God did a lot of things in the creation and in the development of mankind's experience here on earth. So we know that that's there, and we know that at the close of this whole thing, that which is the eternal you goes on into something quite incredible. And even with what happens even here, there's some things that God does even here and in this whole construct that are quite incredible. Now, the rocky place that we've been in has been in this middle ground, which we've all experienced, which we all know. So now we see, remember the beast that came out of the sea? So we've done a series on how that entire system has been there. And we recognize, too, that that system eventually is no longer there. So there is a time in the process of the work of the Most High where that which is there is no longer there, and there is something else that's brought in. So some statements that we made along the way getting to this point. So you are immortal in a world that is not, right? So you are immortal in a world that is not. So we know that those that are listening to this, those that are part of the work that we all do together, that we are immortal beings living and conducting ourselves in and around a world that is not real. Now, different disciplines around the world have different names and references for this. So in Eastern, South Asian traditions, they talk about Maya, the illusionary world. They talk about, there's different places in the world that have different names for this. You know, a movie that struck a chord with a lot of people, The Matrix. You know, why did that struck such a chord with so many people? Because even certain lines in that movie were like, okay, you know something's not right here, you know, at the start. And people know that. They inherently know something's not right. It's become a way that people reference. They talk about the Matrix. It's become part of just common language. And yet, you know, as we go further and further along in our human experience, it's starting to become more of a reality that you know, it's not just a piece of fiction, that there is something not quite right about the reality that we're in. So you've got people that are out there like Elon Musk talking about how in 10,000 years, how augmented reality and virtual reality will be so advanced that you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between that and what is your base reality right now. Now, there's other questions about, well, who's to say that that wasn't put in place before your experience right now and you're just rediscovering that possibility. So here's some clues that we also see and understand and comprehend that this entire backdrop of what we've been in is not real. So one thing around it is the patterns. One thing around it is the repeats. So we've talked about how humanity itself has been caught in this loop. You know, we continue to find ourselves in this repeating pattern and loop. And you see this again in your own life. You'll see this in things that repeat cycles that seem to come up. Don't you notice, like, there's some days that you get up and it's just like, doesn't matter what you do, things don't happen and don't work. And then there's other days where it's like you can do no wrong. Now, what is that all about? Because you're still the same person. Sometimes it's like the wind is at your back, and other times the wind is right at your front, and then other times it's at your side and it's pushing you all over the place. So there are environmental, external factors affecting your reality. Now, when we go to Luke chapter 4, you know, and this is something that we covered before, but we'll touch on it again. Luke chapter 4, you've got Jesus and the devil and the conversation that happens and takes place between them. And part of what the devil does with Jesus is he offers him all the kingdoms of their world and their splendor. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, it says, the devil taking him up onto a high mountain shewed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, legal concepts that we've gone through, issue of consent, right? Consent is something that is extremely important in the exercise of your immortal soul, your immortal being, your immortal person. What do you consent to, and what do you choose to remove your consent from? So Jesus being the example of how we should live, Jesus being the example of go and do likewise, Jesus being the Word made flesh, truth, the embodiment of truth, here giving, setting precedent, saying, look, if you want to figure out how to do this, you know, I only do what I see the Father doing. That's what he said. I only speak the words I hear from the Father. I only do what I see the Father doing. So that's the encouragement for us. Do what you see the Father doing. Speak the words you hear from the Father. But you got to be in sync with him to hear from him. You've got to be looking at what he's doing, i.e. your attention should be there. Your connection should be there. So how can you hear the words that you hear from the Father unless you have a connection with him in the first place? You can't hear his words if you're not connected with him. You can't see what he's doing if your eyes aren't on him. Right? And that's why the world also works extremely hard to get your attention. The simulation works very hard to get and keep your attention. So we've talked about the attention economy. The attention economy is a tech term that's out there, which basically is you have these entire companies built around your attention. You know, the psychology of it is built around your attention. You've seen Instagram. It is actually even tied into a psychology of even that flip with the thumb. When you go straight up with the thumb, there is a dopamine hit that comes, and it actually works even better for women. So of how that whole thing is set up, of how the Instagram app, the application of the same psychology that goes into forming Vegas goes into many of these apps. So the immediate dopamine response, the hit, the bell, the chime, the invasion of your privacy, the ping, the likes, right? All of that, what does it do? Your engagement, you keep coming back. You keep, you know, you get, turn off those notifications. You know, if you want to have some peace of mind, turn the notifications off and engage on purpose when you want to, if you're going to use that stuff. Why? Because the notifications are like, whatever else it is that you're doing right now in your life, that's not as important as what's going on over here. Here, let me absorb you with this notification. Such and such responded to your comment. Look and see what they said. How many of you had fights online with family members? What did that result in outside of you getting heated, right? It didn't actually produce anything of any real value. Nobody's minds changed. People just, you know, they set up the psychology of a lot of those things for engagement, to actually get people fighting, because it caused engagement. It causes controversy. It causes engagement, and it causes people to spend time on those apps so that thereby they can now sell advertising, because now there's more time, more people spent on there. get your peace of mind back. Now, I'm just ranting a little bit on these apps, but there's an entire thing around it, and how does it work? That whole world works by you being engaged on it. It's not a compliment to your life and to your experience, right? Okay, but Jesus, the issue around consent, he knows what the devil's asking for. Limited, but legitimate offer, but for a limited time, right? Legitimate offer for a limited time. And he also recognizes that the devil is always trying to, he makes it look like, he's very good at his PR, he makes it look like he's given you what you want, but he's always swapping it out. There's always a catch. And everyone that's taken the devil's deal is always remorseful at the end of their life. There's not a one of them that is that when this thing is done, is happy about that deal that they made. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Stephen referenced Ecclesiastes. Absolutely, that's tried it all. And, you know, the end of the matter is this, you know, that it's, you know, you got to serve the Most High, because all the rest of this stuff is, you know, it's vanity. Okay, so the issue of consent, right? That's a key principle. And this is something that we should all be considering in our lives as we go through them, is what is it that we are consenting to? There is deliberate consent, and then there's implied consent. So in this regard, when we start looking at how do we now come out of the simulation? Because the world and this backdrop, the sensory construct backdrop that's there, is set up to get you to engage in it. And it continuously wants your engagement and your thought process. So everything that the world surrounds you with, and we read that scripture last time, love not the world nor the things of the world, for if anyone loves the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In 1 John, right? So then we substituted another word in there just for the sake of making the point, which was love not the simulation, nor the things in the simulation, for if anyone loves the simulation and the things in the simulation, the love of the Father is not in him. It kind of takes on a whole different, you know, you look at it from a different way when you think of it in that terms. Because it is the illusion. The world is the illusion. The simulation is the illusion. Now, the simulation itself, It part of how it works is to get you to engage in that with your time, your energy, your focus, your attention, your labor, your thought process. Remember when we set down our definition of what the simulation was? And right now that's been that working definition. But it seems to, at this point, have continued to hold merit. But when we start speaking about the simulation, it's a mental, sensory, environmental overlay on top of what is real to convince you of a lie for a purpose of control to harvest your soul, your power, your creative ability, your attention, your labor, your focus, to refine a better mousetrap for those who will come after you. So it takes everything in you and uses that to build the slave system. So this is why, part of why this whole thing is so a lot of people feel like it's hard for them to get out of it, because it's been built upon by those that have come before. And everyone that's come before, their role in being part of it has strengthened it to be able to do what it does today. And if you get to a certain point where the slave system, it does collapse, because every illusion, every lie eventually falls apart. The truth is what always wins out. Now, we're in a time where a lot of things are being revealed, that because the frequencies are changing, the vibration's changing, the energy is changing, and a lot of things that were hidden before are no longer being hidden. So apocalypse is the unveiling. So when people talk about apocalypse, they think about, oh, it's the unveiling, it's the revealing. And so there's a lot of things that are being known. You know, that there's, so God said, I'll shake everything that can be shaken. That's happening. And you've also got, you know, the things that you whisper in your room, you know, in your bedroom quietly, he's going to shout from the mountaintops. So he's going to shout from the rooftops. So those, you got things that are being known widely. And a lot of people right now, they don't know what to think, because there's so much information that's out there. There's so many things coming out there. There's a flood that's there in front of people, and they don't know what to do with it. Now, how do you keep your peace, and how do you engage, and how do you take this opportunity that's actually there for every one of us to get off of the simulation and out of that, and to affect the true reality that you and I end up having and experiencing while we're here? Well, the first thing is always going to be our consent. And if you choose to no longer consent to the slave system, but you can't just do it passively. You have to actively make a decision of what you are going to be about. You need to say, so remember one of the first series that we did was How to Change Your Life? Okay, you got to go back to that one. You've got to actively make that decision of which direction you want to go. Because what happens is that world system, that simulation, that backdrop actually responds more when you take your attention off of it than when you give your attention to it. All right? I'll say that again. The world responds more when you take your attention off of it than when you give your attention to it. If you give your attention to it, it has you. When you take your attention off of it and put it on the things of God, now it's coming after you because it doesn't have your attention anymore. So I think back to college days, and I remember when guys would get on fire for God in that time. During that, there'd be the pretty girl that they always wanted to go see or whatever, and the girl wouldn't give them the time of day. The second that they took their attention off of that and started following God, all of a sudden now that girl's like, hey, you know, now why? What's going on? What happened? Like, what? Why is it now that the dynamics change when your attention changes? Because when you start focusing on the truth, when you start focusing on your journey and the journey that the Most High has for you, what happens is the world creates a response for you. And you have to recognize that the response that the world gives you at that time is to try to get you back in the simulation. It's to try to get your attention back in there. So if you were struggling before, right? You're struggling and finances are tough and everything, but you're giving your attention to the world. You're just gonna go in there. And then all of a sudden you hear the call of God and you put your attention on the Most High. Now, okay, they're gonna try to crush you, they're gonna try to distract you. But then what happens when you get everything that you thought you wanted? Here's the offer from the devil to Jesus. Here, I'll give it all to you, but just come back in the world. Let's come in the world. He needs to be indoctrinated. That's what they want. They don't want you to leave. So when that desire is there to try to bring you back, how many people stop and they go back in the world and then they say, oh, thank God, look how God has blessed me, right? Look how God has blessed me. You know, but they don't realize that they're right back in the middle of all of what that was. They haven't stayed the course. They didn't move forward with who they truly are. An authentic, real person, an authentic immortal soul, an authentic child of the Most High goes through this life and through this journey by allowing for that which is within to be manifest without. The difference between that versus you from without making that decision and deciding who you're going to be by all these external stimulus. You can be surrounded by everything else, but you can within know who you are, and God will make that real within you. What did Jesus say in Luke 17? The kingdom is where? Within you. Luke 17, verse 20, right? Verse 20, verse 21. The kingdom is within you. Where did he say living water is going to flow from? Out of your belly is going to flow rivers of living water. So it comes from inside and goes out. It's within you, not outside of you. So you're going to find what you're looking for inside. From that place of within, then you manifest without. And that's something that's revealed by him within you, because in you is that piece of who he is. Because you are made in the image and the likeness of the Most High. So you have that within you, and that is the place whereby and wherewith you have to be consistent with that. Deep calls out to deep. The truth calls out to the truth. And that's how you can recognize the truth, because it resonates when you see it. And there's people that can talk the same words. Now, here's an important principle too. they can say the right words, but the frequency's off. They can say the right words, but the energy's off. They can say the right words, but the vibration is off. Have you ever heard somebody read the scriptures, but the vibration's off, and it just sounds, it's like evil? You know, there are people that will hold this book, and because of where they're coming from, there's snakes in the grass, and that which is within them the scriptures talk about the devil himself has angels that transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. They look the part. They look the part, they sound the part, but they are evil within, and they will do a lot of damage to you. Didn't the Pope, at one point, it was a BBC article, he said that, they said that 2% of their priests were pedophiles that they knew of, officially. That's like 1 in 25. So that means that 1 in 25 within the Catholic Church, according to the Pope, now that's what they say officially, because who knows what the unofficial numbers are. But, I mean, that's evil. That's some evil stuff. You got to close that thing down. You know, like that's, close it down, clean it out. You know, you cannot put kids in danger like that, right? But that's what's going on in there. That's what he says is going on in there. So, you know, when you've got the spirit of truth within you, something is going to resonate inside of you when you come across truth, and you can use that to also know who else is brethren and who else is on that page and then who else is not, because you have a journey to go through. Now, so in this regard too, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed, right? So how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So, it actually says, okay, can two walk together except they be agreed? So that's a question, right? And this is another piece of how we go out of this journey. When the truth is made manifest, when things are shared for what they are, then the question is, where is their agreement? Because you've got consent, but then you've also got agreement. And when people come together in agreement and consent to come together in agreement for something different, this is the reason why divide and conquer was used around the world as a colonial tactic. Divide and conquer is very powerful. Why? Because you have disagreement. And whenever you have disagreement, you have disempowerment. Whenever you have disempowerment, you have disenfranchisement. Whenever you have so if you bring in that seed of being able to create disagreement, you can neutralize an entire nation. You can neutralize an entire people. So as a strategy, divide and conquer was used all over the world because it worked. Because what did you have to do? You could have a very small force, a very small group of people that could control an entire nation, because you could take the chief majority, or you could take the majority of people and pit them against the chief minority, the biggest, smallest, biggest subgroup that was there, and you could set one up, and then you could tell the other guys, hey, look at those guys. They're the reason that you have a problem, because look, they've got all the stuff. And then you fight each other. They fight each other, and while they're fighting each other, that small group of people that set the whole thing up, they can go in and extract everything out of there because everybody's too busy fighting with each other. Division is a very powerful weapon used against the people. And this is why with what we do, whatever people's backgrounds are, here's what we're doing. We just say, here's what we're doing. If you agree with what we're doing, you're welcome to join us. And if you don't, no problem, do what you're doing. But find what you can agree with people on, not what you disagree with them on. Because when you find what you disagree with people on, what you're doing is it's a destructive endeavor. There's most of the world agrees, the people on this planet, on 90% of what's going on, we're in agreement. We actually are. Most people would like to see a future for their kids. Most people would like to have clean water. Very few people want Flint, Michigan water. Very few people want to be fighting with each other continuously. Very few people would, it's a very small set of people that want that. Why is it that every time you turn on the news, it keeps telling you about something you're supposed to be afraid of? You know, that's on purpose. That's deliberate. That's intentional, because it works. Now, the controllers divided and conquered nations for the purpose of extracting the resources out of those places. When you recognize that your enemy is not your neighbor, that your enemy is somebody else who's trying to tell you that your neighbor is your enemy and is trying to get you at loggerheads with each other, when you start to realize that, and this is part of us being open and us saying, look, you know what? I don't got a problem with this person. You know, I here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to be a blessing. Who else is with me on that? You start there, and what you end up finding is there's a lot of people that want to be part of the solution. So, but how can two walk together at least to be agreed? Find what you can come into agreement with people on and work on that. Whatever it is that you disagree on, find the constructs for how you can have a lawful, ethical, reasonable disagreement and sort out your differences, you know, when the time comes. So I think a good suggestion for that would be do whatever you're going to agree on for the bulk of the week and just set a time once a week for like 2 hours to bring all your disagreements and then fight it out. And then, then have a purge. That's great. Like, do that. Because you know why? Because this continuous fighting with each other all the time over everything is a waste of your energy, your life force, your focus, and the rest of it. Politics, by and large, has been used as a means of getting people at each other's throats for the purpose of keeping them in disagreement, and there is no change. Look at what's changed. Hooray for our side. So what? So what? What has actually changed? And as much as people want to think that there's a difference, practically speaking, look and see over a period of time what has changed. Have we had in this country, we've had different parties be in power throughout the last 100 years, right? Have we moved further or closer to a functional justice system? Have we moved further or closer from real money backed by intrinsic value? Have we moved further or closer to judicial systems that actually make sense? Have we moved further or closer to stronger families? Have we moved further or closer from toxic environments? Where are we going? What, regardless of the party, right? So if you flip-flop it this way or flip-flop it that way, stop looking to political parties to do that which you can do yourself. People don't recognize that every power that anybody in politics has is what comes from we the people. So we the people are the ones that give them the power. They get nothing that doesn't come from us. They don't get any position that doesn't come from us. They don't get any power that doesn't come from us. They don't get any resource that doesn't come from us. They don't get anything that they have of any value comes from we the people. And the second that we take that away from them, they don't have it. So focus on that which is the priority, and use and utilize your common sense to see that these things are distraction tactics and games. And think about how many people now, okay, we just had midterms elections, right, in this country. How many people are going to wrap up all of their focus for the next 2 years in a circus, right? They're going to put a lot of their focus in this side, that side, who's funding this, who's funding that. Will you spend your time and your energy in that? Or you can make your decision about what you're going to vote for. I don't care how you vote. But in 10 minutes or an hour towards the close, after everybody's kind of decided where they stand on these issues, and you're going to say whatever, who is actually doing something on behalf of the people, and spend the rest of your time over this next 2 years actually building the solutions that you want to live with, actually doing the things that you that will make a difference in your own life and in the lives of your neighbors and your friends and your family. Because we can actually do that. We can actually set that course by our choice, by our decision. But it takes us doing it. And you know what we have to stop doing is we have to get away from an inherent human trait, which is laziness and an abrogation of our responsibilities. What people, a lot of people want to do is to have someone else do it for them. Why do people want to have a political leader that they can put all their trust and their focus in? Because, hooray for our side, he's going to go get the job done. I don't have to do anything. Right? And then when things don't work out, I can blame him or her. You know, her, him or her, either one of them, I can blame them for things not working out. Now, where does that responsibility lie with us? We're responsible. And if we don't like the way things are, we can change it. You know, some of the things that we discussed with the Ministry of Health, we can have a functional healthcare system in this country. We should. We can. And we can actually build it. And we have got a way to build it. And everybody that hears about it and knows it gets involved. Why? Because they want that too. Is that relying on any governmental anything? No, not at all. We would like their blessing because they will be better off as a result of this. A lot of costs are going to go down. We would like them to be supportive and not to get in the way. That would be nice, you know. But do we need them to be actively involved in doing this? Minimally. Like, really, we don't. It's the people that can do this. And we've had our lifetimes to know that it's never going to come from a political solution, period. All we end up having is one more lobbyist group after another harvesting that which is off the people, and we don't have a healthcare system in this country. We've got the business of medicine. You put a dollar in, you get something totally different out. You go to the store to buy strawberries, you get a bag of cement. You know, you're not getting what you put that resource in. So we can have a healthcare system, but it's going to come from us and what we know to be health, what we know to be something that's actually true. So in looking at the backdrop of these kind of things, people go along with the simulation and people go along with the world because they think it works. But it works until it doesn't. Right? It works until it doesn't. So the whole FTX debacle just this last week, it worked until it didn't. And then as soon as it didn't, everybody's looking at each other, but then who's accountable? You know, they'll have a dog and pony show, but no one's accountable. There's no justice system that works, especially when you paid that kind of money into the same people who are supposed to be following up on the justice. They want something they want a return on that investment, right? The better approach for each and every one of us is you overcome this world, you raise your energy, you raise your vibration, you raise your frequency, come into agreement with the truth. And that is a big step for each and every one of us, is when you know what the truth is and the revelation of the truth, you come into agreement with that truth as the Most High reveals it to you, and then you go forward with that and you implement that in your own life. And what happens is that you become the primary beneficiary of that truth in yourself, and then everyone else that's around you benefits from that too. Because they all benefit from you being in a better place. Like, when you're healthy, everybody around you benefits from you being healthy. When you're sick, everyone else around you suffers with you being sick. So it's not just about you. It's about everybody else around you. You know, in the military with the snipers, they would, when there's like a platoon, if they would shot and kill somebody on the lead man versus injuring the lead man. If they injure the lead man, two other guys have to go help the lead man, right? And they draw out other people, and so while that guy's in it, versus just killing that guy. Somebody's injured, the burden of care goes through the roof. The other people have to come out of the woodwork to try to help that person. And so that's why the travesty of what's happened around these shots over this last 2.5-3 years, where now you got Pfizer execs saying they never tested it to see if it would stop transmission. 8 mice later, and everybody else became the second round of clinical trials on a global scale, and now massive damage, no recalls. It's still out there. To this day, as the thing is still out there on the market, they're offering free shots at ACL, Austin City Limits. They got a booth there, even though this is the most deadly, most dangerous, most harmful thing ever to be released that's known, visibly known, covered up as much as it possibly can. And yet this is still out there, and yet this is still going on, right? So now the burden of care, now people just talk about the people that have died. Every person that's been injured out of the workforce, now what's going to happen? What's going to happen to the families that have to take care of them? What's going to happen to the loved ones that have to take care of them? What's going to happen to them being in a debilitated state of life and state of being, where their minds are not functioning as well as they could be? Their lives are cut short. This is all a serious concern. This world has been hurt. The people on this planet have been hurt by some very evil, unaccountable, sinister, diabolical pieces of intergalactic garbage that are here. Now, that needs to be adjudicated. There is karma that has to be reconciled. There is, you reap what you sow. That is coming, you know, and that's going to come one way or the other. So, in that regard, you know, but what we do is listen, if you are on the side of truth, you are on the side of the moral high ground. You're on the side of that which is real. You're on the side of that which is part of the Most High. You're on the side of that which is what will be here after the sea is gone. So you're actually on, so they, as much as they want to try to, you know, have bunkers and hide in the mountains and in the rocks and in the caves and find a place and rake up as much treasure and come out after the ashes are done, they're going to get buried alive in those places. You know, it's going to be an awful end for those ones. But the child of the Most High will go from glory to glory, strength to strength. And we are part of what God's intending upon the earth at this time. But we have to raise up to who we truly are. You're seated in heavenly places. You need to recognize who you truly are, raise up to that, and then from that place, interact here during this time, recognizing that as you raise up to that, the world is going to do everything it can to recapture your attention. Don't go with the simulation. Go with the direction that the Most High gives you within, because you can hear His voice, you know His voice, and just like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, I only speak the words that the Father speaks. Bring yourself into that state and connect with Him on that state, and from that place, you can now be that change here that God intended for you to be when you got here anyways. This is part of the human experience, of the true experience, what God wants for you. This is why they try to poison you, why they try to bring you down, why they bombard you with toxins, why they try to lower your frequency, why you're surrounded by this toxic soup. All of it is to try to bring you down. But you're here. To this day, you're still here. You're alive, you're kicking, you know, God is raising your awareness. Now, work with God. Work with what He's doing. Let's be in concert with Him rather than Him doing things in spite of us. Let's be on His page and do things in accordance with Him. Consent to His plan. Consent to what He's doing. Consent that the Most High has the best way, that He has given us that way. Come into agreement with Him and into agreement with those that are also on that page. And let's go do something amazing. All right, with that, stop right there for today. In Jesus' name, Father, please bless everyone that's heard these words. And we just want to thank You, Father, that You've given us a path and You've given us the journey and You are with us in Jesus' name. And so we bless one another and we thank You. And we ask that You would watch over each and every one of us. Keep us on Your journey, Lord. Keep us on Your path. Keep us in the way and aligned with the truth and out of the world and unto You in all we do, think, and say. In Jesus' name.